Okay, so I want to talk tonight, of course, it's just before Christmas, and so we always wish each other a Merry Christmas, and of course, the word Merry sometimes has kind of a mixed connotation. Sometimes we can be Merry at Christmas, but it's not always a good kind of Merry. But want us to all have really a joyful Christmas. And so with that, it's kind of the thing is that Christmas should be a joyful time, but there can be a lot of things that can happen or go on that can really threaten to rob us of the joy that we desire to have at Christmas. It's kind of the thing, I think all of us, as we think back at Christmases that we've had, that there's some ones that we've had really good memories for different reasons. But then there's others that we think back and it's like, that was just such a nightmare, that was not a good memory. And so sometimes we can be really kind of haunted by the ghost of Christmas past, where something happened, say there was some kind of fight or something, like, who knows? Sometimes it's something someone else did to us, sometimes it's something that we did to someone else. But we think of that and it just makes us so uncomfortable, but it almost kind of makes us worry that that's going to happen again if we have a situation like that. And of course, the holiday season can often be a time where we have the greatest struggles with our bad habits and addictions. Because sometimes it can be that we had a bad memory at Christmas because of something that happened, and that's maybe what may have led us to start some kind of coping mechanism or another to try to deal with that difficulty. Or sometimes it can be because we were dealing with that addiction that we had, that we ended up hurting other people. And so it's the thing is that when we're in that situation, with Christmas comes, there's a lot of different triggers of different things. And so really with this, what I'm hoping to do is just kind of not to make you think back of all your failures or anything like that, or disappointments, but just to kind of help prepare you so that you're ready and have a kind of a good mindset as we're going into Christmas. Because we want to do that. We want to experience true joy, and we want to continue our path to recovery. Because sometimes what we can think during the Christmas season, it's kind of the thing is like, I can have a good time, or I can stay sober, but I can't do both at the same time. That it's like, because when things are miserable, I went to this to kind of make myself feel better. If I'm not going to grab hold of that, then it's going to be a really hard time. I'm going to be glad that I didn't give in, but I'm not going to really enjoy it because I don't have anything to hide in or to run away to when things don't go the way that I want them to. And so, but the thing is, we want to find that where it's like, yes, continue on our path to recovery, keep doing good, but then where we can have joy through that too. And so I'm hoping with this that there's a lot that you can find that can be a help to you. So we want to think of different factors that can threaten our joy this Christmas season and also threaten our recovery. So first off can be disappointments. It's kind of like this as a child, that you kind of have your heart set on a certain gift, that you think if you get this gift, Christmas is going to be awesome, right? But then what happens? Sometimes you laid out as many hints as you could to everybody you knew that this is what you wanted, but then they didn't get it for you. Or you got it and you found out, boy, this isn't anything like I thought it was. And sometimes what it is we're putting way too much stock in this thing that this is going to make me happy, and that's not what it's designed for, even though that's what the advertisers can convince you of, that, oh yeah, your life will be so much better if you have this thing. And so we realize that there's different disappointments, but sometimes it's things that we want to have happen that don't happen. Sometimes it's things we don't want to happen that do, that we're hoping, okay, I hope that when family gets together, everything's going to be fine. There's not going to be any fights or arguments. But then something happens and someone just ends up being a jerk and says something, and that just sets everything off, and it just can be so disappointing when something like that happens, right? But then as well, there can be a lot of, and of course these can be linked, but there's a lot of stress that comes in the Christmas season. Different things that are going on. And sometimes, because we're worried about disappointments of the past repeating themselves, we add stress to things as a result. But there can be the whole preparational stress, where we have all these things that we figure we need to get done and prepare for. And sometimes we can put ourselves with all those preparations into a bad state of mind to begin with, before we ever actually get into the Christmas season. But then there can be different relational stresses that we have, where we know, okay, this is a time where we're going to have family together, we're going to have the relative here that I don't see that often, and there's a reason I don't see them that often. But, okay, what's going to happen when they come and everything else? And then, as well, there can be financial stresses, that sometimes money's tight at Christmas, and sometimes it's like, well, we did all these things to make Christmas wonderful for everyone, and then the bill comes that we got to pay in January. It's like, oh my goodness, how am I going to deal with all these debts, right? And so there's all those stresses come in, and when those things happen, that can really, where we think, oh, this is a great season, this was wonderful, and then it's like, oh, I'm going to be paying for this till July, just to try to make this all work out. But then sometimes what can happen is sometimes we have situations where we're dealing with family, and that's a way of losing our joy. But then there's other times where, for whatever reason, we maybe don't have the connections that we would desire, and that can take away our joy too. Sometimes if we're away from loved ones, we have to be, or sometimes it can be, say, if someone that we loved has passed on, and it could be our first Christmas without them, that can be very difficult to process. And just, especially, I can think of just one fellow married for years, and like an old lady dropped off some cookies for him, and just, this is his first Christmas without his wife, and they were married like, 50 years or something like that. It's not easy. But then with all these things too, we realize that there's always abundant opportunity for self-indulgence. And so there's always some party a person could go to. It's sort of, if you're trying to be like kind of careful health-wise and everything, there's so much food to eat that it's like, you just sort of, okay, my whole kind of weight schedule, kind of where I want to be, that'll just go out the window, and I'll try to deal with that. And sometimes with that, you kind of pay that till July too. So it's, but we realize that there's different things like that. All those are really kind of a perfect storm that really can take away our joy. And with some of what we've talked about, we think of like pain and ingratitude and shame and self-indulgence, that all of those kind of, they can end up working together this time of year and can cause a lot of trouble. Are there any others that you guys can think of? Things that can happen that can take away joy during the Christmas season?
Well, if you lost a family member, but that may be
Yeah, definitely grief and loneliness. Yeah, those would go together. No, absolutely.
Work.
What's that?
Work.
Yeah, sometimes you want to be able to just have the whole time for family, and then it's like, oh, I got to work. Boss calls me in, or just, okay, I got to pay the bills or whatever, and that's, yeah, that can take away time from that. Any other thoughts?
Well, like you said, like Ghosts of Christmas Past, but it can be remembering just different places or times that we really enjoy Christmas, and you get thinking about that, and you're not really happy with where you're at. So.
Yeah, because it's like, well, it's not going to be like that. That was awesome, and like, it will never live up to that. Yeah. Yeah, that can be a thing sometimes when we can live in the past when it's good or when it's bad sometimes, and that's not always a good thing. So, it's kind of the thing. Sometimes we sort of have this mindset, well, if this happens and this happens and this doesn't happen, then it's going to be an awesome Christmas. But then one of those things happens or doesn't happen, and it's like, well, man, it's okay, it's shot. It's how can this be good now? But the thing is, we would like to have everything go the way as we hope, but we don't have control over what happens a lot of times, even though we may try to control every little detail to try to make it work out, and usually there's always something we haven't thought of that can happen. And we can't control how others act. Like, we can even, like, sometimes it can be where you have like a family gathering, and it's sort of, you actually go to a person and says, can you just not bring up this subject? Like, just kind of let that go, and you try to do that ahead of time, but then what happens is a person just decides to ignore what you asked and do the thing anyway. So we don't have control over that. But what we do have control over is how we respond. Okay, and that's kind of the thing, is we have to understand, and it's the idea of taking personal responsibility, because a lot of times that's the trouble, is like we get in a bad situation and then we go into our behavior that we're trying to avoid, and we think of it, we look at it, and we say, oh, well, this happened because of this person. If this hadn't happened this way, I wouldn't have done this. Whereas, like, wait a minute, I didn't react properly. I just used that as a way of justifying my wrong behavior. And so we do have control over that, and we have to be really thinking of what we're doing. And so this is something I really want us to understand, is that a lot of our disappointments and a lot of the stress that we face, we want to realize they come as a result of unrealistic expectations. Okay? And it can be one of two ways. It's sometimes it can be other people have unrealistic expectations of us, and at other times it can be we have unrealistic expectations of others. And so we're going to kind of go through some of this just to think of it through. And all of us may assume that the expectations that we have of one another are reasonable. But what happens if people don't meet what we expect them to, what we think they're capable of, or whatever? What can happen is we allow it to take away our joy. We allow it to discourage us in our recovery. And we can allow it to ruin our relationships with each other. Because it's kind of the thing, if we expect someone to be there at a certain place or to do something for us, they don't come through, we're like, what's the matter with you? Why didn't you do that for me? I was counting on you, right? And we can really get into a lot of trouble that way if we're just not reacting in the right way. Okay, so here's some thoughts. So, with your family, so this could be, say, your parents, this could be your kids, this could be other relatives. What unrealistic expectations might they have of you? Yeah, some might figure that if you really appreciate them, that you're going to like spend $100 on them for a gift or something like that. That if you got them like a handmade gift, that they'd be like offended at you. Cause it's like, what's this junk that you gave me? I want the designer stuff, right? Any other thoughts? Sometimes it could be like they expect that you're going to be successful and you're going to have it all together. Sometimes it can be, especially when we're talking about a recovery, they might figure, well, you should be through that, you should be on the other side already, and what's taking you so long? And they kind of push you a lot farther and think that, oh yeah, this is where you should be, and it's not where you're at. Any other thoughts?
Maybe that you're cooking, doing all the cooking, and they can sit back and do nothing. Kind of happened last sister once.
Yeah, that's kind of what they think. Oh, I'm just here to kind of, I'm the guest, and I can just, I expect you to do all the work, and it's like that doesn't always work very well in a family situation. So, not necessarily just with our friends, but say with our friends, and it can be other people in our community, society as a whole, what unrealistic expectations might they have? Yeah? Yeah. You should, like, yeah, she needs you there, why are you coming out here?
Well, she's in Ontario, right? She's talking about last week, and
really
just blew me out of the water. She was saying, that's just, like, she was like, I got to go where God wants me, not where you want me.
Yeah. No, and that sometimes it's, you can have friends where they expect you to be there to bail them out all the time, and it's just like, you might be dealing with your own stuff. You can't always, like, help someone else out. Sometimes just people are just thinking that you'll be like, you'll be the rock that they can just, like, that they don't have to really be responsible themselves, because they figure, well, you can just kind of take things up for them. And it's like, you can't always do that. You do what you can, but you can't, you can't basically get to the point where you're wore out trying to help someone else when they could do a lot of their own things themselves. And so that can be a thing, like, where, and that can be sometimes where it can damage a friendship, but it's where someone's expecting something of someone else, and it's not realistic. But here's a question too: what unrealistic expectations might I have of myself? And this is kind of the thing sometimes at Christmas time we can think of, as like, I want to be like the perfect host or hostess. I want to, like, have like the most awesomest light display of anyone, and like there can be so many different things where we've kind of put ourselves. It's not anybody else that's telling us, well, we have to do this. It's us just saying, well, I just have to do this. And sometimes we have to ask, well, why do I have to do this? And why am I killing myself trying to do this? Why am I stressing myself out? Where nobody actually said, yes, you have to do this. And so I think we have to be careful with that, of just understanding what are the actual expectations I should have for where I'm at. And so what happens is, a lot of people are like the Pharisees of Jesus' day. And the Pharisees were these guys that they were, they tried to act like they had it all together. And the problem was, is that really, like, Jesus kind of got on their case a lot, because they were holier than thou. He said you're like whitewashed sepulchres. You look good on the outside, but you're full of dead bones on the inside, kind of thing. He was, a lot of the things that he said that were rough were to them, because they weren't getting it, need to hear it. But he said this to them, it says, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. That they basically said, oh, you've got to do this and this and this. They had all these rules and all these expectations of people, but then they wouldn't actually help that person, like, reach these unreasonable expectations. They just said, well, if you can't do it, and it was almost like they were purposely setting up everyone else for failure. And I think we can all maybe think of different people in their lives that it just, that seems that that's what they're doing, is they're trying to set you up to failure, that you just never can meet their expectations. And they're not going to help you, they're not going to teach you. Like, sometimes you can have a boss that it's like, yells at you and calls you dumb. It's like, well, you've never actually trained me in that. How am I supposed to know how to do that? And so there can be a lot of people like that. But the thing is with God is he's totally different, because, and we really want to understand that what his actual expectations for us are really kind of a lot simpler, where I want you to love me and I want you to love other people. And he's, it's not as complicated as we sometimes make it to be. And that's what it says, this is love of God, we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. They're not overwhelming, they're not unreasonable. Because a lot of things that he asks us to do, he does it because he loves us. He's not just saying, do this, don't do this, because he just wants them to do. It's like, I don't want you to do this because it's going to hurt you. That's why we learn, if God's against it, so am I. He's against it because he knows it's not going to be good. And so when we learn to follow him, it's like, oh, yeah, this was good that I followed God, that I missed out on all this bad stuff that could have happened to me. And then as well, he says, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And it's kind of a picture of that it isn't where we pull stuff all by ourselves, it's where he's pulling it with us. And he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. When we actually learn to live our lives with his strength, then we find life is not this struggle that we're not living life in order to try to make sure that we're pleasing God and we're accepted of him. What we actually understand is that we are accepted in him, and he's pleased with us just because we're his children, and we can kind of work as a result of that. So we want to think of it in that way, in terms of people having the wrong expectations of us. And we need to sometimes just be able to put that away. We say, okay, what does God expect of me? Am I living up to that? And the thing is, the blessing is that he's always, he gives expectations for us, but he's always there to try to help us meet those expectations. He's not saying, well, you do this by yourself and I just expect you to fail. No, he's there to be our help. But then we want to get to the idea that sometimes we have unreal expectations of other people. And so, first of all, of our parents, what could be, as a child or even as an adult child, what could be our expectation, an unrealistic expectation of our parents?
Gifts.
Yeah, gifts that we have, we basically make a list and they better get everything on it or we're not going to be happy. And it's kind of the thing, it's like, in some ways and we'll get to that, but when we get to the idea of like Santa Claus, where it's like, okay, well, if you've been nice, then you're going to get these presents. It's like, we can kind of get in that perspective, well, okay, I've been good, where's my present kind of thing. And it's sort of almost like I've been good, so I demand that you give me this, and that's not really a healthy way of anything. Any other thoughts?
Yeah.
Or go ahead.
Yeah,
well, that sometimes happens. Leah, did you have something? Yeah, sometimes we can think that our parents are always going to be there to help us out. And the thing is, sometimes they get to a point financially where they're not able to, even physically they're not able to. Like, at a certain point, sometimes it changes where we look after them instead of them look after us. And so we have to realize that. But what unreal expectations could we have of our children? Yeah, we think, well, they should be at a certain point, and they're not. Or, like, here's one where
It's like, oh yeah, I'm going to take like a 6-hour car ride, and I figure that my kids are just going to just chill and not have any trouble, not squirm, and not make any noise, and it'll just be a nice, quiet, peaceful trip. Well, it's like, that might work when they're teenagers, but when they're toddlers, it's like, that's just not going to happen. And it's just, you get all mad. It's like, well, okay, they're kids, and they're tired of sitting buckled into this car seat and not being able to move. And so that can be kind of the thing where, and sometimes it's like we give a gift at Christmas, right? And we think, oh, they're going to really like this. And then we find out that they don't like it, and they throw a temper tantrum, and then it's just like, fine, I'll take it back. I'm not getting anything ever again. It's like, okay, they're kids. They don't always know how to be grateful like they should. And sometimes just, a lot of times that's what happens, is we think they'll be on their best behavior, and then that's the day they decide, nope, I'm going to just do whatever and embarrass my parents. And you just have to get over that. So, what unrealistic expectations might we have of friends or relatives? Sometimes it can be we figure, well, they'll be there for us when we need it. Sometimes it can be where we figure that they're not going to take advantage of our friendship. And sometimes, unfortunately, that happens. And sometimes it can be for just totally wrong reasons. Sometimes it's just they're in a bad place, they're not thinking right, and so we can get into a bad situation. But what would be, in terms of our recovery process, what might be unrealistic expectations with that? Yeah, sometimes we think, oh yeah, I'm on the right path, everything should be going good, I shouldn't have any more struggles. But is that reality? It's like, well, no, a lot of times it's like three steps forward, two steps back, and it can be sometimes a very frustrating process. But yet we know it's going to be worth it in the end, but in the moment it's like, boy, this isn't, it's like, because it's kind of the thing is like when we're in our addiction, it's like, well, this is what I use to make myself feel better, and I'm cutting that out of my life, but then it's like I'm just kind of, it's almost like I'm naked to the world having to try to deal with this without that coping mechanism. And so it's not fun, but it's learning, of course, healthy ways to deal with things. And so, yeah, it can be kind of discouraging, and that's why sometimes we get disappointed, and then it gets us in a mood that then gets us back into giving in to our addiction. And so that's kind of learning that sometimes, okay, like, and it can be just talking with other people that have gone through the same process where they say, oh yeah, this happens, don't give up, it's going to get better. But this is a thought too, what unrealistic expectations might we have of God? Yeah, that it just sort of, bing, everything's perfect, right? And I don't have to do anything. And we do realize that the work that he does, it is him doing the work in us, but we realize it's as we seek him. It isn't just, I just kind of still disobey him and then expect, well, he's just going to, like, cancel out all my bad decisions and just make everything good. Any other thoughts of unrealistic expectations of God? Yeah. Well, and that's kind of the thing. Sometimes we look at God as like this cosmic Santa Claus, where I have my list, and I've been good, so just give me everything on my list. And the thing is, if that's how it worked, who would actually be God? It'd be us, because basically he does whatever we tell him. And it doesn't always work that way, because some of the things we want aren't good for us.
And it's kind of the thing too, is sometimes what happens is we can get to some mindset, okay, well, I'm trying to do good, I should have some kind of blessing happen to me immediately. That we almost want this instant gratification when I do something good. But what does the Lord say is a lot of times we do good and then we end up suffering. And a lot of times that's something we should expect in life. And we realize, why does that happen? Well, because we know that the devil, when he sees us doing right, he wants to do everything he can to discourage us. And so he's trying to get us to see, it's not worth it, it's not worth it. But of course, it will be worth it in time. We just might not see it in the moment. And God, a lot of times, he's wanting us to do what's right just because it's right. And we walk by faith. We may not see the results now, but there will be results later. And as we learn that we don't have, he doesn't have to bribe us to do good. He doesn't say, okay, you do good, and I'm just going to, because like, and that's kind of the sad thing. There's actually what's referred to as a prosperity gospel, where some people teach, oh yeah, well, if you're serving the Lord, then just, you're going to be rich and not have any problems. And it can be, I know I had a cousin that went to a church that was teaching that, and it was kind of sad because they just got married, and of course when you're just married, money's tight and things, and it was like, normally in a church it's like, oh, money's tight, we'll help you out because you're part of our church family. It was like, everybody in the church was like, oh, well, if things aren't going for you, something must be wrong in your life, and I don't want to help you because then it'll taint us and the gravy train will stop for us, kind of thing. It's like, that's not the right way to do it. That's not the way God works. And so it's kind of understanding that God can do a lot of things, but sometimes we have our view of God and we just think he's there to do my bidding and he's there to make everything. And we got to be careful with that. So, it's kind of the thing, if we're, during the Christmas season, and of course throughout the year, if we're self-focused, and if we allow our unrealistic expectations to govern our moods and our reactions, then we're going to make the Christmas season miserable, both for ourselves and for everyone else. Because no one's living up to the expectations we have, and these things happen, so we get stressed out, we get disappointed, and then we get negative and we let everybody else know that. And that's not where we want to go. That's not the answer. And so instead, if we try to get our focus off ourselves and onto others, and we learn about the fruit of the Spirit, and we think of specific fruit of the Spirit that we yield to, the fruit of the Spirit of love, and that's giving of ourselves for the benefit of others without thought of return. And that's what we want to learn to do, that we give and we don't have to get anything back from it. We're not expecting anything back. And that's something to actually learn to do. And it could be something even to try to challenge yourself through this Christmas season. Is there a way that I could give to someone and I can do it where they're never going to find out that I gave to them? Or I can give to someone knowing that there's no way that they can ever pay me back. That learning to do that and do it in the Spirit, that we can really find a joy in doing that, where we're giving and it's not with selfish motives, it's just giving. Because that's, you think with the Lord Jesus, that he gave his life knowing that there's a whole bunch of people that were going to reject him, but yet he still gave his life, right? And as well, it's the idea of long-suffering, where we're patient with the shortcomings of others. People maybe don't measure up to what we think they should, but that doesn't mean we get mad at them and frustrated. We just learn, okay, I want somebody to be long-suffering to me because I don't always measure up to what maybe I should, so I should be long-suffering to others. And so when we yield to that, this is, and that's what we get in these circumstances. We know the devil's trying to take us a certain way with them to get disappointed, to get frustrated, to get angry, to get in a mood that'll bring us back into an addiction, where God's trying to take us the other way, where we're saying, okay, I'm not going to let this take my joy away. I'm going to respond properly. If I don't get anything back from this, person doesn't say thank you to me, it's not going to stop me from doing right. And I'm going to be patient with this person because I love them and I want to do what's best for them. Okay? But then really what we want to think about as we kind of wrap up tonight is our ultimate source of joy really is the Christ of Christmas. It says, this is when the angel came to the shepherds, he said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And that's what he was announcing. There is great joy, and it's because there's a Savior. And really, when we think about the first Christmas, it began with disappointment and with a lot of stress. Because you think about it, what happened? Joseph was going to get married to Mary, and then what did he find out? That she was pregnant. It wasn't his child, and like basically it's like, she's unfaithful to me, and I'm just going to have to basically divorce her now, because that was just the way. It was either divorce her or ask that she be stoned for adultery. And if he was vindictive, he could have probably done that, but he wasn't that kind of a guy. But yet, of course, what happened, the angel appeared to him in a dream, says, don't worry, Mary didn't do anything wrong. The child that's in her is of the Holy Ghost. It's the Son of God that's come down to earth. And he said that she's going to give birth to a son. You're going to call his name Jesus, because he's going to save his people from their sins. And that's what he came, that he was our Savior. And of course, there's a lot of stress because they're in Nazareth, going to get everything ready for the baby to be born. What happens? Caesar Augustus makes this decree. Everybody's got to go to their hometown to take the census so that they can pay a tax. And so they had to uproot everything. And of course, they didn't have buses or anything back then. They had to walk 100 miles down to Bethlehem from Nazareth. Well, actually not down, but up, because it's higher in elevation. And so they basically got there, and then she has the baby's coming. They can't find any place to go, and so they end up getting into the stable and having the baby. But what happened, like all that was forgotten because the Savior was born. And it's kind of the thing that we really want to learn from that, because in the same way, we can have a lot of stresses, we can have a lot of disappointments, but when Jesus Christ comes into our life and is in our lives, that changes everything, because he saves us from our sin, he saves us from ourselves, that we can have the joy of knowing that we're forgiven, that all the things we did in the past are wiped clean from our record in God's eyes. We can be joyful because we know my eternity's settled, I have a home in heaven with him. I have a joy that I'm part of God's family, that God is my father, Christ is my brother, my big brother that's there for me all the time. And it just, there's a joy in that. And it's as we live in his presence, we can experience true joy. And this is from Psalm 16:11. It says, thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And so in this Christmas season, it's kind of the thing, is when we try to focus on the Lord Jesus, realize what he's done for us, why he came. Because of course, he's God, and God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at once, right? And so if we're always in his presence, we should always be able to have joy, right? So the more we realize his presence, the more we focus on him, then we can have that joy that we seek. All right, any thoughts or questions as we conclude? No? Yeah, I hope you guys all have a joyful Christmas. I see some of you before that, but with the Lord's help and just right perspective, we don't have to, it doesn't have to be one of those bad Christmases. It can be one, and that's my prayer for you, that this will be kind of a Christmas that'll be, even though things may not happen the way we plan, it can be one that's really good, and that it can be a kind of a stepping stone to say, okay, I'm making progress, and next year might be even better. All right, so now that we're, let me just turn these off.